This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High and deep into left field, and is back, and it is gone!
And the breaking ball, there it goes! Deep left center field, and Kay Oscar is there to make the catch.
There you go,
there it is!
There's a winner!
Back.
Look at that!
Back, gone!
Deep toward the bullpen, and back he goes, its ball is gone!
Oh, it feels good to have baseball back!
What a time. And as a wise man once said, Keith.
Yeah?
Chicks dig the long ball.
Is that what they said?
And so do I.
Uh-huh.
We'll get you our dong pool draft here. We will each take, all five of us, myself, Keith, Billy, Nick, Terp joining us in studio. What's up, Terp?
Welcome
What's
aboard, up? Terp.
You guys like the Red Sox sweatshirt I got on today?
Oh, you're ready to go.
Ready to go.
I thought he was
Opening
about
day.
To throw LeBron stuff in your face like he was doing off the air.
Sick brag, bro.
No, I saw Terp tweeting about LeBron. And I was like, unfollow.
You're like, mute.
Nice game winner last night from the GOAT.
Out. That's on the Pacers. That's more of the Pacers losing than it is LeBron winning. Anyway.
We're all here. We all have our random team names as assigned by the fantasy platform we're on. I'm Adam's Astounding Team, which I don't love.
I don't like
That's
that.
That's going to need a tweak.
They have such a long list of dirty words that you're not allowed to put on these fantasy sites now, which is insane.
Like a dong pool, that should be allowed.
Should be allowed. If you could say it on the radio, you should be able to put it on the websites, but whatever. We know what it is.
Yeah. So all five of us, we're going to take four players each, 20 total players. We're going to follow this all year long. Whoever has the most home runs at the end of the year wins.
Yeah. What do they win?
I don't know.
TBD.
We'll figure that out.
Like Garrett Crochet, we'll figure it out as we go.
Well, great question. What did Billy win for the combine? We'll answer that for you right now. Billy gets to pick the draft order. You want to go first or last, Bill?
I will go first.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just have to sit here and watch the rest of the draft.
Okay,
so
hang on.
Right. So we're going snake order draft. So Billy goes first. That means Jones goes second. I go third. Nick will go fourth. Terp will have the fifth and the sixth pick.
Wow.
I like that.
In the dong pool. That is not a bad spot to be there. Catbird seat, some would say.
I also like that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Billy, why don't you get us started?
With the first pick in the dong draft.
All right, kind of obvious pick. Give me Shohei Ohtani.
Pretty good pick.
I mean,
you want to pimp a home run? That's great. Let's pimp everything.
Can't say I would argue with that. Except I actually would. If I had the first pick in the draft, I would have taken this man, Aaron Judge.
Ah, son of a gun. All right, I will go with the third pick overall. I will take the scariest at-bat in the league, Yordan Alvarez.
Oh. I thought you were going Kyle Tucker.
Well, Yordan Alvarez. I'm in it to win it. Don't worry about that.
The text line already said.
Don't worry about that.
The text line already said $20 to anybody who takes
don't read that.
Kyle Tucker from Rich
Keefe.
Well,
somebody might be picking right before Keefe in the second round.
They won't Venmo you. They're not going to Venmo you the 20s.
Okay,
don't do
it. We're three picks in. Ohtani, Judge, Yordan Alvarez. Right. Nick, you're up.
I am going with Brent Rooker. They are playing in a National League park this year. A shorter distance to hit a home run. Brent Rooker.
You mean a minor league park?
What did I say? National League park?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Minor league park.
The Sacramento Rivercats or the National League? I haven't followed baseball closely for a few years. I didn't realize the Sacramento Rivercats were in
NL. They're actually playing in a stadium with no fence. So I don't know if that helps him or hurts him.
Brent Rooker. Okay.
Brent Rooker.
Nice pick.
Flying off the board.
Can't say I hate it. Terp on the clock. Back-to-back picks here.
I'm going to go Kyle Tucker.
No, you're not. Are you serious?
And Kyle Schwarber.
Double Kyles. The Kyle brothers. Okay. Smart.
That's a good team name there.
I mean, he might win MVP, some are saying. Kyle Tucker.
Text line, you can Venmo Terp. It's $20. Figure out where to send that. Yeah. Okay, so we're through one round plus.
Nobody likes Kyle Tucker until the Dong draft happens.
Ohtani, Judge, Alvarez, Rooker, Tucker, Schwarber. I got to be careful with my handwriting. I got to barely read it.
The amazing Kyle brothers.
We're back to Nick with pick number seven. Pick number seven.
Kind of surprised he lasted this long. Juan Soto.
Juan Soto.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Interesting pick. I think Nick expected more celebration there.
No, I didn't expect any.
Kind of surprised. He's still on the board.
Not one, but two of you guys had this gentleman winning the American League MVP, so I will go with Vlad Jr.
Vladdy Jr.
Vlad Jr. off the board.
Okay, I like that pick. I guess I'll stay in New York with pick number nine here. I will go with the polar bear, Pete Alonso.
Big Pete.
Billy, you got back-to-back picks here.
Wow.
All right, I will go first with Jose Ramirez.
Okay.
Oh, this was a 40-40. If this was a home run and steals league, he'd
J-Ram.
Be kicking ass between Shohei and Ramirez.
Nice value there.
And I will go Gunnar Henderson.
Okay.
Gunnar.
All right. Gunnar Henderson for Bill. That's honestly who I was hoping was going to be there.
Oh, so sad.
Not great.
Who is it going to be now?
I will go with Matt Olson.
Matt Olson?
Of the, I think, Atlanta Braves.
Well, that'll help if you can. I read up on home runs
the other day. I'm pretty sure he still plays for Atlanta.
All right. He's not exactly a home run machine. However, I have him winning the American League MVP. I think he'll be over 30 bombs. So give me Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt.
Yeah. Vlad Jr., Bobby Witt Jr.
You saw that one coming.
Yep, the juniors.
Okay, we are to Nick with his third pick.
I am going to go with Rafael Devers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Homer City.
What a honk.
Homer.
All right, Turp, make one pick and then we'll pause. We'll reset where we're at.
All right, I'm going to go with Cal Raleigh.
Cal Raleigh?
Nick was talking all about Cal Raleigh.
So Turp's plan is to steal everybody's player?
Yeah, that's
they
all it is.
Sliding he right just listens to everybody. On my lap.
Mr. Steal Your Girl over here.
I was between Devers and Big Dumper right there, yeah.
Big Dumper?
That's his nickname. His nickname's Big Dumper.
Honestly, why wouldn't I pick that guy?
That makes me kind of love him. I should have taken him
The
earlier.
Big Dumper.
And I have a team name now.
Yeah, you do.
The Big Dumpers.
No. You're Mr. Steal Your Home Run or something like that. That's what you got to be over there.
All right, so we're what, three rounds in?
Okay, we're three rounds in. Terp will be on the clock for our fourth and final round. He stole Kyle Tucker from Keith. Checks in the mail. Kyle Schwarber.
No, the guy said, what's your Venmo, Terp? He'll send it to you.
Oh, nice.
Justin-Turpin63.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Justin. 63? Big Marshan guy?
No, I wore that number in football.
Got it.
It's old.
It's a tribute to LeBron, obviously. Kyle Schwarber and Big Dumper, Cal Raleigh. Those are Terp's three picks. Nick will be the second pick of the final round. He has Brent Rooker, Juan Soto, who he couldn't believe was still there.
Shocked.
And Rafael Devers. Keith went Yordan Alvarez, Vladdy Jr., and Bobby Witt. It's a nice sounding team, not gonna lie.
That's a good squad.
Myself, I went with Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, and Matt Olson. That felt like a panic pick.
Wow.
And Billy's got Shohei Ohtani,
Jose
Ramirez, and Gunnar Henderson. All right, Turp, start up the fourth and final round.
Did you mention Marcell Ozuna in there?
No.
Marcelo Ozuna?
No. Turp doesn't even know who's available.
That's what I'm going to go. Yeah.
He's like, does anybody else? Ozuna?
Yeah, I'll take
please.
Shohei Ohtani.
He already went, right?
Yes, he did. All right, so yeah, Ozuna.
He's gone. All right, Nick, so help me God if you take my guy.
I'm hoping that Corey Seager is going to be healthy this year. Give me Corey Seager.
I thought he was going to say somebody else. Hope Seager's healthy. Give me Marcus Simeon.
So actually, wait a minute. I thought I was the next pick. Keith's the next pick.
I'm the next pick.
So help me God.
All right, there's a lot of good choices.
There are. So many.
I'll go with Fernando Tatis.
Damn it!
Yeah, I'll go with Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm the team of juniors. That's kind of what we landed on.
I know Billy was waiting on him because he's his NL MVP.
Vlad Jr., Bobby Witt Jr., and Tatis Jr., all sons of major leaguers. Pretty good if you can get it. championship.
I don't like it. That's who I wanted.
Get a loaded squad.
I'm choosing between my NL MVP and the guy I'm actually going to pick. Second Brave. Just double checked it. Austin Riley.
Austin Riley?
You betcha.
Joe's going to be watching a lot of Braves games this year.
A lot of Atlanta Braves baseball.
Taking the Braves.
For yours truly, Austin Riley. Billy, final pick.
My final pick will be Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I thought about him.
That's who I was.
So nobody drafted Mookie Betts. Was that because he's lost 20
nobody
pounds?
Nobody drafted Lindor.
Nobody drafted Lindor?
Nope.
Nobody drafted
Anthony
Santander, who you like.
Oh,
Julio
I did.
Rodriguez.
I
had a down year last year, though.
Who did?
J-Rod.
Oh, J-Rod did. Yeah. He's young.
It's about this year, Terp.
It's all true. About 2025 dongs.
Mm-hmm. Nobody drafted
2024
dongs. It's a free agency rules here.
I wanted to shoehorn
there
in.
There are none.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it. Forget it.
I wanted to shoehorn in Ruby De La Rosa.
Oh, you did?
Not Ruby De La Rosa.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Ellie De La
Cruz. What is going on today?
You could have Ruby De La Rosa if you want him.
Ellie De La Cruz.
Got it.
He was maybe the original Baby Pedro.
Twitch chat said Schwarber. Yeah, Schwarber was taken pretty early.
Schwarber was taken.
Terps all Kyle team.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
I was looking for
he
more Kyle.
Kyle Tucker from me.
That's a good point. Jones went back-to-back New York and back-to-back Atlanta. I'm going to regret passing on Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah. You're a big NL East guy. All your dongs are in the NL East.
No. Two New York players, Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso. Okay, so let's recap these one more time. You can let us know who you think had the best dong draft.
All right, just go through your team. We'll each go through our own
team.
So who do you got?
Well, Billy, why don't you start?
That way
we go in order. Billy, your team.
I don't even remember.
Okay, yeah. Shohei Ohtani, Jose Ramirez,
yep.
Gunnar Henderson,
yep.
Bryce Harper. That's a nice team.
It is.
I took Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Keith.
It's pretty good. Yordan Alvarez, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bobby Witt Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's the team I'd want to watch the most. I can confidently say that's the team I'd want to watch the most.
That's pretty good.
Nick?
Brent Rooker, Juan Soto, Rafa, what did Wiggy call Devers? Ralphie Devers.
Ralphie.
Corey Seager.
Okay, and Terp?
I'm going to need some help here, I think. But Kyle.
Tucker.
Kyle Raleigh.
Big Dumper. And Marcel Ozuna.
Well, I'm excited about this. This should be good. We have to figure out either a prize for the winner or a penalty for the loser. One of the two. I'm not sure which, but something's got to give.
Well, and the prize could be an unexpected thing, like Billy throwing the draft order at us at the last second there.
Although Keith
didn't have to pivot at all. You knew where you were going to pick.
No, I was locked in at three. I had a good draft plan. I stuck with it.
Can we draft anything in football season?
Yeah, sure.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah,
we'll figure something
touchdown
out.
Touchdown. Whatever.
Touchdown pool.
Yeah, I was those two Braves. I only like half my
team.
Yeah,
I can't imagine you feel great about that.
It's the problem with research.
But that should be
it's the problem with doing research.
It gets
in the way.
I think I have to do all this.
I mean, you got to pick with your gut.
So we asked this question a couple weeks ago, just on the Red Sox.
Yep.
Do you think Devers leads the team in home runs?
Probably.
I think that's the safest bet.
Correct. It's a wide range of outcomes with him. I think
it is,
but. The safest guy to hit 30 is Devers.
Well, they have.
Like, it could be Cassis. I think it could be Bregman. I would not wager on that, but I think it could be Bregman. I wouldn't rule out Duran, honestly.
To lead the team in home runs?
Yeah, could he get to 30 and that could lead the team? Yeah, Devers didn't even get to 30 last year.
I know
Cassis has never hit
30. We always dismiss Story, and I'm not saying that he would do it, but he had two, and I know it was in Coors Field, but he had two 30 home run seasons. So, like, Devers has hit 30, Bregman's hit 30, Story's hit 30, Cassis. Brezel thinks she can hit 40. Duran hit 20.
Yep.
That's five guys in your lineup that can all sock dingers. So,
and yet we only took one.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think most of those guys are going to be somewhere between, like, 25 and 30, 29. Like, so all the guys I drafted, I think, will hit more home runs. That doesn't mean that they won't, as a team, hit a bunch. Be a good dong team.
No, it's a good dong team. Look, it's a good offense. As we said, the expectations are up. All right, that's the dong draft live. Terp,
thank you, Terp.
All right, see
you
guys.
Thank you for the contributions.
Talk to you next Wednesday.
Stealing players from Keith, which I enjoyed very much.
It's for the love of the game.
Yeah,
it is for the love of the game. When it comes to the heightened expectations, we were talking about the Red Sox and opening day and, you know, getting to see Garrett Crochet on the mound for the first time. I thought this was a good roundup of all the people who are bullish on the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which are you guys? My God.
Yeah,
you all have them in the World Series.
You're actually down on them. That's true.
ALCS, not good enough, apparently.
We read you all the ESPN panelists yesterday. Buster only had them going to the World Series and losing.
Yep.
MLB.com, as an outlet, had them going to the World Series and losing to the Dodgers. Keith Law has the Red Sox in the World Series and losing. CBS Sports has
Keith
them winning.
Law's a...
Yeah, you're not
piece of crap.
He's on Keith's beef list.
Oh,
he's
I forgot
on,
about
he's
this.
On the tiers, yeah.
Right. What was your beef with him again?
He, like, got in this whole squawking match with me on Twitter and then blocked me. And it was all about, like, stats. It was, like, such a nerdy thing. And I was just like...
So it's basically just terp.
It was basically like some guy was good against a pitcher, so I was like, maybe that guy should be in. And then he just went on this whole thing about like how the sample size wasn't big enough because it was like 15 at bats. And I'm like, all right, dude, and like I didn't ask you to be a part of this. And then next thing I know,
I didn't really
blocked.
I didn't put sample sizes as a minimum here.
I was like, yeah, like the guy was good. I forget what it is. Remember, I think we read the tweet on the air a while ago. It was such a stupid thing, and it was like 8 years ago, and I was sitting in like a dentist waiting room just talking baseball. You know how I like to tweet baseball? And then Keith Law from the clouds, because some guy tagged him like, you need to read his book.
So you don't.
I hate him. No.
So you don't put much stock in him having the Red Sox lose in the World Series?
No.
Got it. CBS Sports also has the Red Sox winning the division, among other outlets. So you're talking about people being pretty bullish on the team. And as we discussed earlier, they're going to have stakes for the first time in a long time. Yeah. How do they handle it? I think it'll be an interesting situation for them. I mean, most of us have them in the World Series. Billy has them winning the World Series.
Yeah.
Keith, you have them. I didn't ask you this in our predictions earlier. Do you think they win the division if you're actually going to pick it?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to be really, really good this year. That's why I found it funny that all you guys had them even beyond where I have them going. I think it's going to be a great year. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to go to the ALCS. And I was just looking around the league, and I was like, you know, what other team could do it? And the Royals could very well have the MVP and the Cy Young winner. Like, they could both be on the Royals. They have a good rotation.
You picked Witt for MVP. I picked Reagan for Cy Young. Yep.
So, like, I'll take them. But I think the reason why, you know, people are picking the Red Sox, or people could pick the Royals or the Rangers or the Yankees or the Orioles, like, it is pretty wide open. Like, there's not one team that you look at and you're like, oh, my God, they don't have any flaws. And, like, if they can withstand injuries, there's no team like the Dodgers. And it's funny, even the Phillies and the Braves – if either the Phillies or the Braves were in the American League,
yeah,
I think most people would be like, Braves, Dodgers, World Series,
correct,
or Phillies, Dodgers, World Series. But the American League is pretty wide open.
You get why I'm
so... You can catch all the ALCS. ALCS.
I think they're in there. I think they're in the ALCS this year.
You get why I'm so bullish on the Braves then now in our our dog pool.
Sure,
this is some good text rolling in on the first and maybe only... live dong pool draft here on Jones and Keefe. Text line, love the positive thinking, boys. A season-long bet. Here's to hoping the show is still here in September.
Good point. Good point.
Also hoping for that.
Yeah,
so.
Good point.
We did already win one of those bets.
We did. We had a caller call in specifically and said, guys, Gerard
Mayo
is going to outlast you guys.
Yep.
And we were like, I don't know the answer. And then like 2 weeks later, he was like, guys, you were he got you.
Yeah,
and then
we
they were like, do you want to make the same bet with Elliot Wolf? And we're like, no, we don't.
We weren't like real cocky about that. We're just
no,
like,
we weren't.
Hey, we're just like, we're actually like, great question.
It was actually one of my favorite calls because the guy was like ripping us. And he's like, I actually got a bet with my buddy who thinks you guys will be on the air. He's like, I think you won't be. I was like, oh, my God. All right.
So good point by the text line. There's also a lot of complaining about the dong snubs.
Dong snub?
Yeah.
Bets?
Christian Walker. Sneaky dong draft
Walker
pick.
Can hit home runs.
That says heebie-jeebies.
I think it's honestly probably Betts or Santander hit like 39 home runs last year.
Santander didn't get taken. Betts didn't get taken. Bunch of people said Teoscar Hernandez.
Yep. Manny Machado.
Machado didn't get taken.
Yeah, that's fine.
Somebody wanted us to take Paul Skeens.
Casas.
I'm not sure they know.
Like
what
if you think like Breslow would have taken Casas.
Breslow, yeah, 40. We should
40
take
home runs.
Yeah,
you're
no,
definitely
for sure.
Taken.
You should be doing that. I thought there was another good one in there as well. Oh, it was some team name advice. Terp could be Mr. Steal Your Dong.
I mean, he certainly did. The amazing Kyle brothers.
Keith was the team junior dongs with all of the juniors.
So last year there were two guys that hit over 50 home runs, and there were two other guys that hit over 40. So there's only four players in all of baseball that hit 40 or more home runs. There was a few guys at 39, right? Like Osuna, Jose Ramirez, and Brent Rooker.
We were talking about this before with Devers. Like if Devers gets to 30, he's going to be worth drafting in this thing. Like 30s in your head, you're like, eh. But that would be a top 20 home run hitter in baseball.
Correct. There were 23 guys last year that hit 30 home runs.
Okay, so just about top 20 guy if you're hitting 30.
Tyler O'Neill was one of those guys.
Yeah.
So like Tyler O'Neill led the Red Sox in ding-dongs last year.
You see Brad Foe tweeted out he texted Tyler O'Neill he's hitting a home run today.
I don't love that. I would imagine O'Neill's got some sort of restraining order now against Bradford. Like he did so many interviews. We'll ask him about this. But like, because we would air these Baseball Isn't Boring 2-minute grills during the pregame show.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with those, yeah.
It was like every other couple days, like, yeah, here I am with Tyler O'Neill. like, poor Tyler O'Neill's like, I just want to get ready to hit.
His dad was Mr. Canada or whatever it was, right?
He's just, like, doing push-ups. Like, I'm in between sets here. I'll talk to Bradfo. His favorite story, Bradford, and he'll tell you this. He said he must have told it 10 times on the air. Tyler O'Neill walked into the Red Sox weight room last year and was like, the weights don't go up high enough.
Oh, I've heard. I've heard this.
Well, of course you have.
Yeah.
Of course you've heard it. It's like Robert Kraft sat on the metal benches is the new Tyler O'Neill didn't have big enough weights.
It's
like, I can sock a dinger.
No. Get ready for it in Celtic City. When Larry Bird put up 60 against the Hawks, they were high-fiving each other on the Hawks bench.
They were
so impressed by Larry Bird.
I've never
heard that before.
Played a whole game left-handed once.
Yeah, great. Charlie Coyle's from Weymouth.
Is that right?
Yeah, that level of thing. 6-1-7.
By the way, that guy did Venmo Terp.
He's already Venmo'd.
Good for that. That guy's a man of his word.
Let me tell you, our listeners.
Terp's like, hell yeah.
Trustworthy people. I always say.
Win or lose, I think Terp's already won the dong pool.
Terp is legitimately already up.
He's up two hams.
Yeah, he's already
swimming in it better than
all of us. 617-779-7937. We'll update the final four. It is now set in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. That comes your way at 11:45. Bradfo joins us every Thursday. We'll check in with him. You've kind of gotten it all on opening day here on Jones and Keefe.
What a day. What a time.
Dong pool draft is in the books.
Yep.
MLB season predictions are in the books. Even got a Ruby De La Rosa mention.
Why not?
Lots of good stuff going on here today on Jones and Keefe. Random baseball player returns in the grab bag. People excited for that.
People are excited.
We will preview the Red Sox season in just 60 seconds. Keefe will give you a 60-second preview. I'll give you a 60-second preview when we go on the clock at high noon. And joining us right now for his weekly visit with Jones and Keefe is Rob Bradford of WEEI and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, a friend of Tyler O'Neill.
That's right.
He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com, by the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Rob Bradford, how you doing on opening day?
Oh, McFarland. All it's missing is an Alan Webster reference, right?
Yeah,
if you're
going
to have Ruby
De
La Rosa, you have to get an Alan Webster reference. Yeah, so happy opening day. It just hits different, doesn't it?
It really, really, really does hit different. People are bullish on the Red Sox, ESPN, MLB.com, Keith's nemesis Keith Law. Do you think people are it's getting away from them a little bit on the Red Sox? Three of us on this show have them in the World Series. Billy has them winning it. We all have them winning the division. Like, has it gotten a little carried away?
Alex Bregman's going to hit a home run today, according to Rich Heath.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
a good bet.
It's all coming together. Yeah, I mean, I think that by the way they've landed in spring training, because all these other teams have had so many things go bad poorly, and the Red Sox have had just enough stuff not go poorly, I think it has worked out for them, and that's where they've landed. I mean, I think I don't think it's unreasonable to think they're going to win this division off of what talent they have right now.
And I think one of the main reasons people are picking them is the guy starting today, Garrett Crochet. And do you think the contract thing is going to be an issue at times this year, or are they going to really be able to sort of put it to the side and just have him go out there and pitch all year?
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, today was D-Day. He's not talking beyond once today starts, so we assume that they're not talking. I mean, as we saw with Alex Cora, that changed last year. It can always change. But I think the biggest thing is that he's got another year, right? So he's got another year. He's got this year to prove himself, to prove that he's right in holding out or to going for the big ticket item when it comes to the contract. And then you know, the fact is that maybe he gets through this year and they pay more. But as we said before, I think it's – oh, look at this. You hear my GPS?
We absolutely hear it, yeah.
I'm headed to the park, so
nice. Do you need directions there? Have you never been?
Well, no, not from this location.
Got it.
But I think the fact is that both sides, we know the motivation with this is on both sides. It's a little bit off the beaten track. You have a situation with the Red Sox. They can hold out and they can see if it's worth paying more money. And for Garrett Crochet, he can hold out and say, "Hey, you know what? I want to be the biggest contract in all of pitching in baseball." So this doesn't surprise me. We've gotten to this point.
I want to ask you about another pitcher the Red Sox were in on this offseason. You tweeted yesterday, according to a source, Nathan Eovaldi's decision this offseason came down to the Red Sox and the Rangers. There were six legit suitors. I'm curious, if he chose the Red Sox, would they still have been in on Walker Buehler? Would they still have been in on Garrett Crochet? If Eovaldi chose the Red Sox, how would that have changed their approach?
I think it was the Buehler spot, not the Crochet spot. And if you look at it, it sort of fills the same bucket, right? The veteran guy, the guy who they know isn't going to wilt in the postseason, the guy who is going to be a good influence in the clubhouse. Like, all those boxes are checked. But, you know, according to what I heard yesterday, that it really did come down to the Red Sox and Rangers. There were six legitimate teams interested. And it begs the question, you know, which would you rather have, Eovaldi or Buehler? I think it's a pretty good debate. But I can see why. And that's, you know what? And that's why he got his deal, right? That's why he got his 3-year deal with the Rangers. I'm sure that's put him over the top. But, I think that you could see what they were going for. And I like the fact that they were identifying those sort of guys. I like the fact that they were identifying Eovaldi, because it shows you they're not obsessed. Remember the John Henry, you can't be 30 years old and give a guy a contract. They're not obsessed with that. They're obsessed with, okay, this guy can be good in the clubhouse. He's a good pitcher. He can help us win a postseason game, and that's what Eovaldi can do.
Yeah, we heard Alex Cora yesterday talking about Devers is the DH and Bregman is the third baseman. And that's sort of been the chat over the last couple of weeks, and whether Devers loves it or not, that's sort of the reality. I guess the next layer down from that is last year's DH was Masataka Yoshida. What do you think ends up happening with him?
I would love to tell you that we've done the Venn diagrams. We've done the beautiful mind in the window, and we're trying to figure this out. And it is just, there's no path for Masa Yoshida to be an integral part of this team if Rafael Devers is where he is right now, which we assume he is. He's going to be the everyday DH. They can talk all they want about Masa Yoshida is going to get his arm back. He's going to be throwing. He's going to be in the field. Well, you know, there's a reason why he didn't play in the field at all last year with what a perceived fine arm. And that's because they don't think he can field. They want a good defensive team. And so every time that they say something nice about Masa Yoshida, that I'm just thinking they're screaming and yelling to these other teams in Major League Baseball. I will say this. He looks good, Mike. He looks good hitting. Like, I think he's a legitimate hitter. He could be a DH for someone. He just, for this team, because of the guy sitting in the DH position, I just don't think it's with the Red Sox.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, joining us here, as he does every Thursday on Jones and Keefe, here on opening day on WEEI. You mentioned how Yoshida looks this spring. I know it's been limited looks at Rafael Devers. How would you say he looks?
He's okay. I mean, the times I've seen him play, and, you know, like, listen, his conditioning is what it is. You're going to see him. I think you have seen him. I think he ran down and after I talked to you guys and took a video of him. You know, he's big, but he's not like Sandoval big. And I'm not talking Patrick Sandoval. I'm talking Pablo, of course. And he hits. He's hit in spring training. The thing is that I would be a couple things I'd be a little wary of when it comes to Devers is that he got so few at bats in spring training, and he can hit in the backfield and off the deck machine and all that stuff. It's baffling to me why he didn't get in more games, because games are games. That's what spring trainings are for. And the other thing is that how is he going to handle this DH thing? And I talking to him the other day, he said, I'm just going to do my thing. I'm not going to change anything. I haven't asked advice from anybody, JD Martinez or David Ortiz or anything, but you don't know till you get there. Like, you don't know what it's like to, he's only DH 20. He started 20 games as a DH. So all these things, he might just come out and just start raking right away. But these are some of the things that if he doesn't rake, then we're going to point to and say, well, that wasn't right, and they should have adjusted it.
Is there a way for Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer to be up with the big club outside of injury to somebody in front of them?
Yeah, I mean, if someone stinks, I mean, if Abreu stinks, if Abreu isn't good, then, and he really, really struggles, kind of like he did last year at the beginning of the year. And they're like, hey, you know what? You know, you need more time in the minors or whatever it is. And Roman Anthony is tearing it up, then sure. I think for Marcelo Meyer, it's more of, it just comes down to, is Trevor Story or Bregman healthy? Those are the two spots that he can play. If they are healthy and they are producing, or not even if they're producing, if they're healthy, then he's going to stay in the minor leagues for now. It's still, guys, it is still baffling to me. I love spring training. You know, I love the chicken wings. Sure. I love the beach. Mm-hmm. I love it all. And so, but of all my time in spring training, one of the most baffling things was that day Marcelo Meyer. I think I talked to you guys the day after. Marcelo Meyer playing second base. I mean, we did the podcast with Breslow. I sat down with him, and I said, okay, you got to answer this for me. And he goes on about how he earned the right to be in the competition and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but it was a day. It was a day. And he didn't really have a response to it. It was weird. And yet, because that sort of him being in the competition came and went within a day. But he was, I think, by far the best guy of those three guys in spring training.
Well, yeah, and so speaking of that, I get your point on, you know, if Willie Abreu really struggles, maybe that's where Roman Anthony comes up. I didn't never consider Marcelo Meyer playing second base either. And so what if Christian Campbell gets off to a really slow start? And obviously he is hopefully the future of that position, and you don't want to run away from him too soon. But if it's a long, prolonged slump to start the year, and Marcelo Meyer is killing it at Worcester, even though he's doing it at shortstop, would there be any kind of thought of having him come up and take Campbell's spot?
I think they would be very hesitant to do it. They could do it, obviously, but you have to go through a lot of other checklists, right? You have to go through David Hamilton. You have to go through Vaughn Grissom, who's going to be playing second base in Worcester. And if neither one of those guys are impressing, And so if neither one of those guys are impressing, then, yeah, make the move. But the thing is that they want him – they want Marcelo Meyer as a fail-safe at shortstop. And Trevor Story has had a bad back the last, you know, couple weeks.
No.
That's a reminder that you might need Marcelo Meyer at shortstop. So I'm not going to say no, but – right now, you know, this is we're looking if we're going to do the Dustin Pedroia 2007 thing all over again, then David Hamilton would play the role of Alex Cora and get him and get Pedroia to the finish line or get Campbell to the finish line. I don't think Marcelo Meyer would be.
I was listening to Cora yesterday on WEEI Afternoons with Hart and Fitzy, and he gave what I thought an interesting answer about Tristan Casas. He was asked about Breslow's projections for him, 40 and 110 or whatever. And Cora's like, the guy's just got to play. Like, he's got to be out there. He's got to play. 150 games is the number. And if he plays that, the rest will take care of itself. I sensed a little Casas fatigue in that answer. Is he already a little worn out by the Tristan Casas experience? Or am I barking up the wrong tree?
I think it's cut and dry, not only with Cora, I think with basically everyone who follows the Red Sox. If he produces, great. You've got a great personality. He's a great teammate. You know, he's different, sure, but he's producing. But if you don't produce, then all this other stuff is like, it becomes a little less palatable, right? So I think that Alex Cora is saying the obvious. We need this guy to produce. And for the team, but also just for the perception of Tristan Casas, I think I said it to you guys before. I don't know if there's a more polarizing athlete in Boston right now than Tristan Casas. I don't know, but that's why sort of this April's so important to him to sort of get that narrative back on track, not only with Cora but with everybody.
All right, so let's play this out. If Garrett Crochet goes 6 innings today and leaves the game with a lead, what is the ideal 7-8-9 for the bullpen?
I love it. Yep. Let's go back to 2013 when Koji, Andrew Miller, who was it? Andrew Bailey, was he in there? I don't know.
Yeah. Might have been. Yes. Yeah.
So Tozawa, it was Koji, Andrew Miller.
Ruby De La Rosa.
Someone else was in there. Yeah, Ruby De La Rosa. Andrew, yeah. Alan Webster came in throwing a 99 and everyone freaked out. I think that you're going to have – here's my guess. As I said, I really like what Whitlock has been doing, no question about it. I think Whitlock gets in there. I think Slayton gets in there. If he's the first lefty, probably maybe is Justin Miller. And then you have Chapman at the end. I don't know if they throw Hendricks out there today. I think –
wow.
It just seems like he's still working his way back, you know. It hasn't been terrible, but it hasn't been the type of level that you say, oh, there's a high leverage guy. So, you know, I think in an ideal world, you sort of ease him back into things. But right now, I love a good power ranking. If you get a power rank who looked the best in spring training of relievers, It was Chapman. It was Whitlock. It was Slayton.
Is it fair to say it is kind of bullpen by committee? Cora gave an answer the other day where he's like, well, Chapman's been the best guy, but if Corey Seager's up in the eighth inning, he's going to come in the eighth. I mean, is it fair to say this is bullpen by committee?
Yeah, I mean, that's how baseball is right now, but you better have the guy who can come back
but
in
they
the ninth,
like,
right?
They weren't like that last year with Jans. Oh, I see what you're saying. Matching up beforehand and then, yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's almost all bullpens have two guys now, right? So it's like the Yankees, they have Luke Weaver and Devin Williams. Like, you have these guys, but you know, I think that ideally, but I will say this, Cora has said he likes certainty. He likes routine. So why he said he might bring him in the eighth, I would think that he wouldn't want to wait for the ninth. And how long that dynamic lasts, it really depends on how many times you're going to go with watching Aroldis Chapman walk three guys before striking out the first. Because, you know, this is – he looks good, but, you know, he has a track record of not throwing strikes.
Last thing for you, Bradfo. This ended up being a pretty spirited debate last week on the show. Is the catcher a part of the infield?
Yes.
Is he?
Yeah.
Catcher.
Well, he's not part of the outfield.
Yeah, okay.
That was my response. Catcher's an infielder.
But he is part of the battery. He's not an infielder. A catcher's not an infielder.
Yeah, no, don't sway him. He already said yes.
Can you do both?
But
you asked
it in a misleading way, I feel like. Is a catcher an infielder?
All right, maybe I didn't ask it right, but I got answer.
Is outfielders part of the lineup? Yeah, you can be both.
You can be both. It's like, they're in the lineup.
Bad point.
I hadn't thought of it.
This is why baseball's so great. Yay, baseball.
Baseball's right? Never boring with conversations like this.
No, it isn't.
All right, Bradfo, we appreciate it, even with your wrong answer. We'll talk to you next week.
As I said, it's your prerogative to be wrong. So there you go.
I am used to that. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy opening day.
All right, thanks, guys. See you. All right,
Bradfo, joining us here every Thursday.
Infielder
on
confirmed.
Jones and Keith.
Thank you to the texter who I forgot to ask him that.
Great job by the text line, because I would have forgotten about that. You said, is he part of the infield? I feel like that was a leading way to ask it. Is he an infielder?
Same thing, isn't it?
No.
It's a difference.
No.
Yeah, thank you, Nick.
No, because you were asking more about like where he
is on the field.
All right,
is center field a part of the outfield? Is center field an outfielder? It's the same thing.
Well, no, but in that case, those are both yes.
Well, yeah, but
in
you
this
understand
case, they're both yes too, Jones.
No, wrong.
The question's the same,
right? But you would say like the pitcher is part of the infield, but you would say the pitcher isn't a fielder.
Yeah,
pitcher's
the pitcher is not.
Did Mark Burley win a few gold gloves?
That's what I need. Damn it, Billy,
he did win a gold glove.
That's what I should ask.
Gold glove.
Next week we get to the bottom of this. Is a pitcher an infielder?
Because don't the
we'll
gold
blow this whole thing up?
The gold gloves go to the best fielders.
No, a pitcher wins one every year.
He's a fielder. He's an infielder. He plays the pitcher spot.
He's part of the battery.
It's a good point. If you win a goal, if your position wins a gold glove, you're a fielder.
You got to be fielding somewhere. And we've all agreed that it's not the outfield. We all agree that, very least.
But there's more than two. You make it sound like there's only two spots. There's three.
Battery, fielder,
outfield, outfield, infield, battery.
Where's the field in that word?
That's not
in
the name.
Doesn't exist.
It's not in the name.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
So a pitcher's an infielder.
The prosecution also rests, Your Honor.
Answer that. The pitcher's an infielder?
Unwritten rules says he's not.
Yeah, he's
reality
not
is he's an infielder.
Thank you. I'm all about written rules.
He has a number. If there's a double play and he's involved in it, his one is involved.
One, two, three, four, five. That's like that guy that called Greg today was pissed. He's like, the team can't be good. They can't turn two 4 years ago. It was a wild take. He's like, they don't have middle infielders to turn two.
You almost have to respect.
He goes,
their like
double
that.
Play combination's trash 4 years ago. And then Greg's like, you wanted me to ask Will Middlebrooks about that? It was a good call.
Next week.
Yeah.
If the pitcher wasn't a fielder, why would he have a glove?
Thank you, Nick.
I didn't say he isn't a fielder. I said he's not an infielder. I didn't say he's not a fielder. He's not an infielder.
Well, then where's he?
He's part of the battery.
Apparently he's part of the battery field.
Yeah,
wait. Curtis Jones, the battery thing. Field. Yeah. Great.
Text line agrees with me. Text line greater than Bradford. I always say it. 617.
Agrees with me.
779. No, they don't.
They always do.
Monty Mac and $10 Shake, thank you for agreeing with me.
They agree with me. They love me.
As they always do. Yep. No, they're not agreeing with you. They're agreeing with me. We'll continue with all your feedback here coming up. We'll also update the Jones and Keefe bracket. We're on to the final four. One of the semifinals is up and available. Vote at Jones and Keefe. We'll do it next. Jones and Keefe, we're on to the final four in the March Madness uniform bracket. It has been pretty chalky, not going to lie, and it has been a lot of local teams, but we are finally here. We gave you 64 teams. We're down to the best four uniforms, the best individual uniforms in each sport. Representing the football region, you have Pat Patriot, as a number two seed out of the football region in the baseball region. If you notice a theme here, you have the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
As a five seed.
I mean, come on, folks.
Advancing past the Atlanta Braves in the basketball region. This one was tight.
Right.
You have the Boston Celtics, a four seed.
Stop.
Taking down the number three seed Raptors. If you've heard Keith talk about this, it's a little dino.
It's with an basketball actual dinosaur wearing a uniform on the uniform, and he's dribbling the ball looking for someone to pass to. He's trying to make a play. He's a playmaking point guard.
And in the hockey region, I guess the truest of the regions, although the Hartford Whalers take down the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The Whalers were the one seed in the hockey region.
So this has blown up famously in our face because to start the thing, we had 64 different uniforms.
Yes.
And you're telling me the four best uniforms in sports,
in their
best
individual sports,
the best uniform
yeah.
per four major sport all reside in New England. That's what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, people the Hartford Whalers are no longer here, but I get your point. Yes.
But you know what I'm saying? Yes. Like they at least were at a time in Connecticut.
Yeah. All the best uniforms are here.
The only real upset based on everybody's voting was that the Bruins didn't emerge. And now what are people going
to
do?
The Bruins lost to the Ducks. The Bruins did not lose to a local team. They lost to the Ducks.
That is why I thought when the Anaheim Mighty Ducks and their little quack bill duck thing beat the Bruins, I was like, oh, there's hope for us yet. I go, maybe the dinosaur can beat the Celtics. Uh-huh. It did not.
It did not.
You got to remember, the Celtics uniform is green with white Times New Roman font, or whatever the hell, the basic ass, you know, I have two font, Arial font.
Yeah.
That's all that is. Block letters.
It's classic, though.
Caps lock Celtics. And they're like, best uniform in sports. Well, green and white? Like, I like green and white.
Look, Keith.
I like the jersey. I have those jerseys.
Keith, we can blame the people over and over again because they picked the topic and they've picked these uniforms.
They picked
the
topic.
We can blame the people.
They also shoved it down our face.
And you can also blame us for our oversight because we didn't think this topic would win, nor did we think we'd be sitting here with all New England and three out of four Boston teams, and yet here we are.
But what I do like now, is at least now, it's Boston team versus Boston team, and like your head's going to explode. Like, I want them both to win. Like, no, you got to pick one.
I like them all.
So like the Red Sox, great. It is a nice uniform. It's a nice uniform.
Yeah, the home whites today as modeled by David Ortiz against Pat Pablo. Patriot. Oh, is that not Bob? Is that not Ortiz?
Geez, Jones, what an insult.
I only saw the top
what
of his
face. What an absolute I only saw the top of his face. Insult.
That is Pablo Sandoval. My mistake.
Yikes.
I mean, Ortiz
was in the roads with the
Ortiz
belt butt
wasn't the thinnest.
David Ortiz.
And Gino Capelletti. Did I get my Patriot right? That's Gino Capelletti? Okay, Gino's kicking there.
I think it was his birthday yesterday, wasn't it?
Ooh, nice. So we have Capelletti versus Sandoval. But at least like those are nice uniforms.
So if you told me,
but is it the best uniform in the history of the sport?
I don't think either one of the best in the history of their sports. If you want to say the Patriots have like that's a good one and a respectable one, and that's why we all get excited when they use those uniforms once or maybe twice a year now, then like great. But come on, I mean the Red Sox and Celtics are both classic. They haven't really been tweaked in a long time, which is fine. But it's not the best jersey in the history of the sport.
So here's what we have. Well, the people have spoken. Here's what we have. Pat Patriot, a two seed and the winner of the football region versus the Red Sox, a five seed and the winner of the baseball region. You can vote in that today. Our semifinal up now at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. The full bracket you can see on Instagram and Twitter again at Jones and Keefe. So one semifinal today. Your other semifinal matchup will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'll be the Celtics against the Whalers.
All right.
And then we'll get to the winning matchup on Monday.
As a texter pointed out, next bracket, y'all don't do any Boston teams in there. The homers ruined this bracket. So
how much heat would we catch if we didn't put Pat Patriot up there?
Well, that's the thing. I think all four deserve to be in the tournament. I wouldn't have had them all, with the exception of Pat Patriot, advancing all that far.
There was no way around it.
Yeah, they had to be
in
it.
If we made them all 16 seeds, they would have won.
What
a bracket that would be.
But here's what I'm thinking is we already had a texter point out we might not even be on the air for the results of the dong pool. So I don't want to get too presumptuous and say next March. But
I thought you were just saying get to our championship by Monday.
No.
Sorry. Yeah. No, but next March. Next March we already have,
God willing, knock on wood, etc.
We have a banger of a bracket.
And spoiler alert, there is no like home team that is going to dominate. Oh, you think there is?
I don't know. I got to think about that.
No, I think we should be okay. But we have an awesome bracket cooked up for next year. So hang with us. You got to listen to us every single day now to make sure to ensure that we'll be back.
Ken and Mike, if you're listening.
Yeah.
But Joe, we
have a really good one for next year. And
we've already put the legwork in. Yeah, so let's get there.
Please keep us alive.
We have like five more brackets planned, so please don't get in the way of that.
All right, so there you go. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. The first semifinal is up. The second will be tomorrow. The final round, the championship round, will be on Monday. 617-779-7937. Jam-packed opening day for you here on Jones and Keefe. We always put something on the clock on Thursday at high noon. Today, it'll be a Red Sox season preview. Keefe has 60 seconds. I have 60 seconds. We'll preview it next.